Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked my buddy, Pat McShay, investigative reporter extraordinaire, to come on the program. And normally, we cover information overload, but there are times where there is a topic that is so pressing, we will dedicate the entire hour to it. And this is one of those. This week's program is entitled A Whole of Government Coup d'etat. Pat, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, Jerry. It's great to be here.
Now, you've got an outstanding new article out on stateofthenation.info. Y'all need to go online and go to stateofthenation.info and search for Pat McShay. You can find him on Twitter at J_McShay, and follow Pat there and keep up with what he's putting out. But you've got a quote in this article from Julian Assange, and we know him from WikiLeaks and the fact that, well, the Clintons want to put him in the dirt. The Zionists want to put him in the dirt. A whole lot of people want Julian Assange dead and buried. And he said this, Pat, this says everything about what's going on in Trump 2.0. Yeah. Forget Russia. The real threat to America comes from Israel. That's it right. In a nutshell, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it sure is. And I think anybody that's been paying attention knows that Russia would rather get along with us. They've been trying to stop the war in Ukraine. Trump has been feeding Ukraine missiles and money for the last year and a half after he said he was going to cut them off and stop that war in 24 hours, didn't he say?
Something like that.
And, yeah. You know, the bottom line is Israel hates America. I've been saying that for a long time. And people say, well, how can you say that? Well, I'll tell you, if you look at the quotes from the Israeli leaders and rabbis in the last 50 years, you'll see how much they hate America and they hate non-Jews. Yeah, they hate us, and they have been trying to get involved in our government in every way possible. They're lobbied at AIPAC and other Israel lobbies control about 87% of our politicians. Some of our politicians have gotten over a million dollars in money just from the Israel lobby AIPAC.
Ted Cruz.
Tom Cotton has gotten over $1 million. And Tom Cotton is one of the sponsors of one of these new bills. You know, there are five bills that are in Congress right now. They just passed one a couple of days ago. And there are four others that most people don't know anything about. And these bills were written with the Israelis. They were introduced into Congress by Bibi Netanyahu. Matter of fact, two of our congressmen, one of them from Indiana, went over to Israel and helped Bibi put it together. So these people are all compromised. Yeah, I'm convinced of that. And then, you know, you've got the Epstein connection. You've got Trump, who still refuses to release the names of the people who are blackmailed, and even the names that they know of that were raping underage girls, there's no investigation. There's no prosecution. There's nothing. And what we've got is a whole of government entrenchment of Israeli influence that's advancing through coordinated legislation that subordinates U.S. intelligence, defense, foreign policy priorities, all to Tel Aviv's agenda at the expense of American sovereignty interests and what the taxpayers, you know, have been voting for.
Right.
So, you know, you've got this section 622 that was sponsored by Tom Cotton. It's an intelligence authorization that enhances U.S. and an Israeli intelligence sharing by further embedding a foreign power into America's most sensitive national apparatus that makes it nearly impossible to disentangle U.S. intelligence from Israel.
Now, we know, at least I've reported, and I think you and I have both discussed this, and I know Tex talked about this way back, but the raw data that the NSA collects on every American citizen has been going straight to Israel before it is disseminated by our people. So this isn't something that's new. This is just an enhancement to further kowtow to a nation. It was just, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, I think somebody finally said something, and it was on Twitter. We are the number one target for Israeli spies.
Yeah. The Army War College said 25 years ago, right before 9/11, that Israel spies on America more aggressively than any other country in the world. And, you know, these agreements to me are the height of insanity. Why would any American politician want to make a deal with a country that can't be trusted, lies to us about intelligence, and according to the U.S. Army Intelligence Assessment, they spy on us, like I said, more than any other country. So it's just crazy that we would want to go along with any of this. And, you know, it's like I said in my article, the only reason why they would is if they were blackmailed. They can't possibly believe that this is some necessity that this tiny country the size of Rhode Island with a population of 8 million people, we just have to bring them into the fold. It just makes absolutely no sense.
None.
The Daily Beast just reported that top Trump officials are said to have targeted the use of Trump's people's telephone, cell phone, personal cell phones, making them easy marks. But and the White House found out about it and did nothing. In 2019, they said that the planting the cell phone and surveillance devices were found at the White House and at other sensitive locations around Washington, D.C. And despite suspicions of the intelligence services, the Trump administration made the decision not to confront the Israelis about the espionage, and Israel's never held accountable for any of this. Back in 2021, this would have been during Biden's first couple years, Israeli military intelligence officers were caught planting listening devices at the DIA headquarters. And in 2022, Israeli Shin Bet officers, Shin Bet's like the Israeli FBI, they were discovered trying to bug a Secret Service vehicle. One senior official described the Israeli spy effort against top U.S. officials as unhinged. These are the people that we are hitching our wagon to. It's just crazy.
Very. You know, we can extrapolate this about Israeli spying on America, we can take it back to the development of the atomic bomb, the Manhattan Project. The scientists there were Jews. And we know that there is a loyalty because it's taught, it's bred into the mindset through the Babylonian Talmud that the best of the Gentiles kill. We are our own chosen race. We are special and nobody is on par with us. So it's okay. We use American tax dollars to develop an atomic bomb and then we figure out how to enrich uranium so that we can use it in this bomb. Okay. Well, let's steal this enriched uranium and let's send the plans on how to build a bomb, an atomic bomb, to Israel, and we will create our own superpower because we'll have nuclear bombs. We're not going to be part of any nuclear proliferation treaty. We're not going to open up our reactors to inspection from the atomic agencies. We are special because we are chosen. And then we can go from that. We had Pollard that is now running for a spot in the Knesset. Big time spy. And then this month, June of 2026, is the 59th anniversary of the attack on the USS Liberty.
And
okay. So they stole atomic material. They stole the plans for the bomb. They stole untold data through Pollard. They attacked our naval vessel, killed our servicemen, and they have never been held accountable for any of the actions that they have done.
Well, what's really disgusting about the Liberty is for decades, the Israelis said that that was all just a big mistake and they didn't mean it. And the Americans went along with that. But the truth is that the attack on the Liberty was concocted by President Lyndon Johnson, who was a crypto Jew and a Zionist. And he and the CIA counterintelligence chief, James Angleton, worked with the Israeli Mossad, the same people that were responsible for the JFK assassination and then later the 9/11 attack. They all conspired to bomb the Liberty, and they tried to sink it because they were going to nuke Cairo in Egypt. The only reason that, as a matter of fact, those jets with the atomic weapons were already in the air and only about 10 minutes out from Egypt when the Liberty was finally able to get out an SOS, because their communications on the ship had been damaged and they had to work to get that put back together before they could get out a distress call. And only after they got that distress call out did LBJ call those planes off. And then the ships that were on the way to help the Liberty were called off too. They didn't want them to get help. And the really disgusting thing is they were firing missiles from jets, 50 caliber machine guns at the deck. They were dropping bomblets, napalm on the deck. And not only that, but they sent three smaller ships and sent torpedoes that tore open the hull. The ship started listing, so they went in the water in these life rafts, and the Israeli gunship started firing machine gun fire at the guys in the water that were trying to escape the sinking ship, which it never did sink, thankfully. Yeah, they were strafing the guys in the water in the life rafts. So this was just a despicable attack, And then John McCain's father, Admiral McCain, he helped lead the cover-up. So just disgusting, just like after 9/11, Bush brought in Robert Mueller. You remember when he started? He started as the CIA director about a week before 9/11. He was brought in to lead the cover-up of 9/11. They knew about 9/11. The Bush administration had prior knowledge. That has been proven. And it's been proven that the Israelis had prior knowledge, because obviously I believe there's a mountain of evidence people can read about in my article about the 9/11 attacks. But the Israelis definitely had prior knowledge.
Well, they had Mossad agents posing as art students in the Twin Towers.
Yeah, the dancing Israelis were Mossad agents.
Yeah.
The moving company that they worked for was a Israeli front company, and the owner of the moving company, he moved back to Israel within days after the attack, and then they released the Mossad agents, known as the dancing Israelis, and let them go back to Israel, where they appeared on Israeli television and said that they were there to document the event. So that shows that they had prior knowledge.
Yeah. Well, I've heard reports that the art students were actually demolition experts, and they were wiring the building. So
yeah, I write about that. I write about that in my article. Not only that, they had the biggest elevator restoration done at both Twin Towers. It was the biggest elevator restoration done in the history of elevators, which gave them a perfect opportunity to place the explosives inside the building, at which they know that the buildings were loaded with explosives. You can see the explosive squibs blowing out as the towers came down, but even before the first tower was hit by a plane, William Rodriguez, who worked in the building for over 20 years, he was in one of the sub-basements of the tower, Tower 1, I believe, and explosions were going off in the sub-basement where he was located that knocked him off his feet, and that was before the first plane hit. So they know that the explosives were all over the buildings. All the firemen, all the first responders and people in the building said that explosions were going off all around them.
And then what? Building 7 goes down, just straight down like an implosion, just like the Twin Towers did.
It was a 47-story building that went down in less than 7 seconds. So that's free fall speed, which is impossible unless explosives were used.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, CNN and the BBC both announced that Building 7 had collapsed 25 minutes before it collapsed.
Yeah.
So that means that shows that they were reading a script.
They just got building the timing 7, wrong.
Building 7 was supposed to have collapsed before that.
Yeah. Yep, and nothing happened. So what do? We go in and we raise the rest of the beams. We hide all the evidence. We dump everything off into the ocean so nobody can investigate, because cannot implicate the true culprits. We don't want to know, and we don't want the American people to know, that Israel and the Mossad, along with the CIA, and a number of other agencies, I am sure, were in cahoots to blow up that building. I mean, Larry Silverstein just took over the building, and it had been condemned for asbestos, which is why I think all these firefighters are dying from lung cancer. But he had just taken over the buildings. He had insured it to the hilt. Silverstein would happen to be Jewish.
Not only that, he insured it for a terror attack and got double indemnity. So he ended up getting about $6 billion on a, I think about a $200 million, $300 million investment.
Good money if you can make it. It helps to have insider knowledge. But nothing was done. There were no okay. This is so aggravating, Pat, because we go back to the Kennedy assassination. It was a sham of an investigation. It was garbage. Yep. It was all lies. And then the 9/11 towers, there were so many individual independent reporters that were interviewing demolition experts, guys that did this for a living, who made comments. But nothing was broadcast. There was a CBS reporter that did an outstanding five-part series you cannot find because it's been scrubbed because it implicates the Mossad. And you can't have that. So they're covering that stuff up. And the fact that they have Section 622 of this intelligence authorization from Tom Cotton, we are just allowing these serpents, these vipers, to infiltrate deeper into the bowels of our government. We have been subverted, and the American people don't seem to care.
Well, yeah, you look at, just go back to 1925. Have you heard of the Kalergi Plan?
Yeah.
It was an earlier version of the Cloward and Piven Plan, but Richard Kalergi was a Jewish EU founding father, and he said, "We intend to turn Europe and North America into a mixed mongrel race of Asians and Negroes ruled by Jews." And don't forget that they were also implicated in Bobby Kennedy's murder. Sirhan, don't forget, a Palestinian. Most people don't remember that. But Sirhan was in front of Bobby Kennedy. But Bobby Kennedy was shot behind his ear. So someone behind him shot him. It wasn't Sirhan Sirhan. Not only that, there was a picture that came out years ago, and there's like 15 different CIA assassins in the picture that people pointed out. So it was just like the JFK assassination. It's like every CIA operative and assassin was there that day in Dealey Plaza to either be a shooter, a spotter, or they just wanted to be there to watch it unfold.
You know, when you talked about Sirhan being in front and Kennedy taking it behind the ear, my sick and twisted sense of humor was thinking, well, they had magic bullets because one of them hit Connally. So this was a magic bullet that went from in front of Kennedy to behind. It was just magic bullets, Pat.
It was crazy. Not only that brings us back to the Charlie Kirk thing, and people were saying, A, how did some of these people know about Trump's murder so fast? Like, Bibi Netanyahu made a statement before Trump did. How did he know so fast? And the magic bullet that hit Charlie, you had a 30-06 bullet from 150 yards away that hit him in the neck. That would have taken his head off. And, it did actually very little damage, and there was no exit wound. So they know that was not a bullet from a 30-06. That's just impossible. And I just don't understand. Not only that, when they found that gun, they had looked in that area for that gun with dogs that could have found a gun that was shot a week before in the rain. And these dogs could not find the gun that afternoon after the FBI came on the scene. They went, oh, here's the gun. They found it right away in an area that had been searched earlier with dogs. And you know who owned the house where it was found?
Wasn't it Peter Thiel?
Yep, Palantir. Yep. J.D. Vance's old boss.
Yeah.
Isn't that a coincidence? no one wants to talk about all this stuff. There is so much going on with the Charlie Kirk murder that Candace has just come out with so much on her investigation. And I don't understand how they can even keep holding this kid in jail, because I don't think there's any way they can convict him. There's too many things that don't add up.
Yeah, but they have to have their sacrificial goat. So we had Lee Harvey, yeah, and then we had McVeigh for the Oklahoma City bombing, and then we, yeah, had Zahari and all these other so-called Muslims that their wallets miraculously survived the implosion, and,
yeah,
they had their IDs there. So we round them up. It's so convenient.
Well, this kid they arrested, I think that they planned to take him out. I don't think they planned on him coming in with his parents and giving himself up. I think that put a screw in the plan, because you know those text messages he sent to his boyfriend that said, "My love, I killed Charlie Kirk," and all that. Turns out that he was already in jail and had already been booked 2 or 3 hours before those messages were sent. Well, proving that he didn't send them, so who did?
True.
That's another thing that came out recently, and no one is talking about any of it.
You know, if he is convicted, and I believe that the jury,
he'll die in prison.
Oh, he'll be Epstein'd. But,
yeah,
but if he plays his cards right, he could end up in another condo next to Epstein, living the good life in Tel Aviv. Because that's where, yeah, I believe Epstein's at. I don't think he's dead.
Oh, actually, a woman I wrote about, oh, I don't know, a month or two ago, Shoshana Strup, I think, Strup. I think it's Strook. Shoshana, she was an Israeli young woman, 23 years old, that came out and outed her parents, who are both in the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, and she accused her parents and other elite politicians in Israel of sexually abusing her and other children from the time she was a little girl. And she said that, "I'm not suicidal." And about a week later, I was following her on Twitter. About a week later, she's dead, and they're saying she killed herself. But one other thing that she said, "I can tell you that Jeffrey Epstein is not dead. He's living in Israel." And she would probably know her parents were, like I said, they're still in Israeli Knesset.
You know, it's
so, yeah, I don't,
it's funny when you start peeling back the layers of this onion, Pat.
Yeah.
There are so many things that if you have an ounce of gumption in you, you can see all of these puzzle pieces falling together and deduce what is being done, what has been done, and what, according to your article, what is about to be dumped on the American public. And if we don't start exposing what is going on in our Congress, we are going to be serfs for the nation of Israel, for, and our grandchildren, everybody, for the end of this country. And Pat, we have flown through 30 minutes, my friend. We have to take a pause. My guest today is Pat McShay. We are discussing a whole of government coup d'etat. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about this outstanding 4-DVD docuseries that we are offering entitled Sacrificing Liberty. This stunning documentary examines the tragic attack on the USS Liberty by Israeli forces on June 8, 1967. The true story of the USS Liberty is more shocking than any spy novel ever written by Tom Clancy. It was the most top-secret spy ship in the world, and its client was the NSA. The ship with 294 souls aboard were rushed to the Mediterranean Sea. Only the White House and Pentagon knew that Israel was ready to attack Arab nations. The USS Liberty was deliberately sent into a kill zone. The casualties were staggering. 34 killed, 174 wounded. The cover-up began as soon as the attacks started. And until now, the true story has never been allowed to be told. The aging survivors have finally been allowed to tell the true story. And sacrificing liberty sets the record straight. The truth told for the first time about Israel's massacre of the crewmen aboard the USS Liberty. There is lost video footage seen for the first time in decades. There are shocking first-time eyewitness testimonies from the men who survived this heinous attack. There is gut-wrenching descriptions of the carnage unleashed by the Israeli gunboats and Israeli warplanes. It connects the dots that link Lyndon Baines Johnson to the failed false flag operation to start a war with Egypt. USS Liberty crewmen tell their true stories for the first time in 53 years. What was the role of Senator John McCain's dad in the cover-up? This docuseries also uncovers LBJ's Mossad mistress in the White House. Four parts, only $30. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $36 for Sacrificing Liberty. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We are in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Sacrificing Liberty right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method. Hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. My guest today is Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
Thanks, Sherry. It's great to be here.
Now, you mentioned in your article there are five bills in Congress right now that are all going to subvert our sovereignty for Israel. You've already talked about Section 622, but there is House Resolution 1339. This endorses Netanyahu's plan to shift. This is cagey now. The relationship from U.S. aid to a mutual defense cooperation and joint investment. How special.
That means they're going to have offices all throughout the Pentagon, the Israelis.
Yeah. So, and Stutzman, you said from Indiana?
Yeah, Marlon Stutzman from Indiana. And Abe Hamaday, I used to like him. He's a guy from Arizona. They're the sponsors. So all these Republicans are, they're all just big supporters of Israel.
They are.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, they're bought and paid for by AIPAC. And why AIPAC hasn't had to register as a foreign lobbyist still amazes me.
Well, John Kennedy was going to make them back in the, well, you know, when he was still alive. So that was, yeah, that was about 52 years ago or so, 53 years. So, yeah, it's just crazy. And, you know, again, this is bipartisan, too. This is not just Republicans. You've got some Democrats that are sponsoring me. So I just don't think that they're going to be able to keep this from going through.
When you've got a Zionist in the White House that's itching to sign these, he's BB's yes boy.
Well, did you see just a week ago that Israel's counterintelligence threat was raised to the highest level it's ever been at, ever? Just about a week or so ago. Did you see that?
No, I missed that.
And, oh, yeah, and they found out that Israel was spying on the negotiators that we sent over. Steve Witkoff was targeted. Top Trump negotiators, including Witkoff and Eldridge Holby, who is a Pentagon policy chief. Just the arrogance of the Israelis was disturbing. And these traitors in Congress and the Senate who are signing onto these bills, I mean, this is just treason, in my opinion. I don't understand how they think this is a patriotic move.
That's crazy, Pat. You know, Israel is a petulant child that has never been disciplined.
Oh, I mentioned that a couple times in this article, and that is Israel is a rogue nation that just is never held accountable, because any time that they have problems with the international body, like the UN, the U.S. comes in and just vetoes any kind of punishment. And so they are never held accountable.
Ever.
And so they just feel like they can get away with murder. They literally do. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Back in Obama's term, and you and I talked about this before we got on the air, but the NDAA seems to be the best hiding spot for a lot of pro-Israel garbage. And during Obama, it was added into the, you said 2014 NDAA, where it authorized the government to propagandize American citizens. Before then, it had been completely illegal.
Yeah, there was an act called the Smith-Monk Act that forbid the American government from propagandizing its own citizens. And Barack Obama got rid of that about 12 years ago, I believe. So, yeah. So now you've got this new section in the NDAA, the Defense Technology Cooperative, tasking the Pentagon with synchronizing bilateral research, development, testing, and industrial integration across critical domains like AI, counter drones, cyber-directed energy, missile defense. I mean, are you kidding me? The Israelis, who we should have on a list of countries to be keeping an eye on, we're bringing them in. It's just unbelievable that they trust these Israelis, because this is just a Trojan horse. And I wrote a while back that this is a coup. I said it was a soft coup. It's no longer a soft coup. This is again, like I said, the title, that this is a takeover.
From the top down.
Yeah. I mean, and then you've got the Israel Futures Act, sponsored by Senator Gillibrand, who's a Democrat senator, and Ronny Jackson, Trump's old doctor at the White House. He's a congressman now. That formalizes this initiative with $150 million authorized to create frameworks for joint ventures, co-production, and rapid fielding of Israeli tech in the U.S. military. They're trying to make it sound like Israel's got so much to offer, and, oh, wow, we just we just can't wait to bring them in. And do you really think Israel is going to share anything important with us? Israel's been caught selling American technology to the Chinese and the Russians.
Yeah. I watched a program about the Abrams tank and how it went from an armed personnel carrier to basically a tank. And
right.
We sold this plan to Israel to manufacture their own version of something that we developed, and we came up with this idea for this rapid moving tank. And then the Israelis said, well, you know, this is dangerous. This is dangerous. Let's do this. Let's do that. So they increased the strength of the tank, the armor around the operators in this tank.
Right.
And so, okay, we go back to the bomb. How much has Israel really developed technology, or how much, because we already know that the U.S. is their number one target for spying. How is this bill, this Futures Act, it's a smokescreen for all of the technology that Israel has already stolen.
Yeah, and that tank you were talking about that they came up with, wasn't that the Merkava tank?
I'm not sure. Maybe it wasn't. I called it the Abrams, and it's not the Abrams tank. It was originally an armed personnel carrier.
Yeah, they built a new tank called the Merkava.
Okay. That's
supposed to be the best tank in the world, but I just read recently that these drones, they're taking out those Merkava tanks by the dozens with these drones. So
there is always a weak link in these tanks.
Yeah.
So, I've read Tom Clancy, I loved his work, but you, other history novels and things that I've read, if you were to get around near the turret in the back of one of these old German tanks, it would blow the turret off and incinerate the entire crew, and any of the ammunition inside the tank would go off, and then the fuel cell would go off. So there's always a weak link somewhere in these tanks. They're not as impenetrable as most people would have you believe.
Well, and the wars are changing, and these drones, and if you can knock out a tank with a drone, what's the use anymore of having a tank, really?
Right. Well, and you don't have to put people in harm's way. You've got one operator.
And those Merkava tanks cost, I think they said, about $3 million each, and the drones they're taking them out with cost about $50,000.
Yeah.
So, it just doesn't make sense. Yeah. But, now you've got another one here that's sponsored by four different congressmen and senators, and this mandates a Defense Innovation Unit office in Israel. So they're going to want an office in Israel, and we're going to have more Americans over there, which means more cooperation and more counter unmanned systems programs and emerging technologies like AI and robotics and efforts to fold Israel into the U.S. national technology and industrial base. And, you've got the U.K. and Australia. What are they going to do? Are they going to go ahead and do the same thing with Israel? Are they going to have offices there too? They're just working themselves into all these allies that Israel really can't stand. They just want to get their hooks in and start taking over. And when you control almost 90% of the politicians in a country the size of America, is that really what Americans want? And why do these idiot politicians think that that's going to be good for any of us?
I ask that question on a daily basis.
Kevin Schiff, I wrote about Kevin Schiff, was an investigator in an elite CIA counterintelligence group, espionage group, and he was part of a special investigation unit searching for Israeli moles inside the CIA. And he said, I can tell you firsthand that Israel and the Mossad are one of the most dangerous espionage threats to U.S. national security. Now, why would he say that if they're our best friend?
They're our only democratic ally in the Middle East, Pat. They're the chosen ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just frightening that, you know, another guy that I wrote about here is a Thomas Perot, who wrote an article called Israel's Targeted Assassination. And he said Israel's history is deeply intertwined with a calculated and ruthless policy of extrajudicial killing. This grim reality is a testament to its commitment to violence as a primary instrument of state power. And Israel consistently employed targeted assassinations to eliminate perceived enemies. And, you know, that's when I said, will American journalists be safe in America once this is signed, or will the Israelis start targeting Americans who oppose this so-called merger with the Israeli military? Bibi Netanyahu recently called this an information war that they couldn't afford to lose. So he's calling this info war a war. And their disregard for civilian lives and absolute lack of accountability for their atrocities and targeted assassinations over the last four decades should really concern everybody, I would think.
You know, when you start looking at the number of journalists that have been assassinated in the Middle East, and I had Pastor Chuck Baldwin on after Charlie Kirk was murdered, and we talked about the fact that the number one organization in the entire world that has the assets to be able to do it and the unmitigated gall to take anybody out that they view as a threat is the Mossad. And
right.
When you consider the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the number of logistical assets you have to have in place, same thing for Kennedy. There are yep. logistics involved with getting people in the right spot at the right time and being able to execute to the nth degree and then extricate themselves from that environment without anybody seeing them.
Right. And they've got all kinds of help in America. They call them psionyms.
Yep.
These Americans that aren't even necessarily Jewish, but they're, you know, they're involved in the Israeli cause that will help them in these assassinations.
If you have any doubt about this, when Bill Clinton was president, he had dodged the draft, the first draft dodger ever elected to the office of president of the United States. Slick Willie said that if Israel was invaded, he would leave, join the IDF, and fight right alongside with the Israeli soldiers.
I remember that, yeah. Well, you know, Trump is so concerned that people are saying that Bibi is his boss. He's really upset about that. But Trump told the media last week that he'd spoken to Bibi and had forbidden the Israelis from continuing strikes on Lebanon. And he also instructed them to pull back from southern Lebanon. But they paid no attention to him at all. And they went ahead and attacked within days of him telling them that. Because they, again, are never held accountable. And what's Trump going to do?
Yeah.
Well, what is he going to do?
His entire cabinet is pro-Israel. The
yes.
politicians on Capitol Hill are bought and paid for by AIPAC. You know, Thomas Massie, he lost his election. So he's basically a lame duck congressman. And he actually got on the floor of the House and talked about the attack on the USS Liberty. And everybody in controlled media started throwing out that word to denigrate anything Thomas Massie is doing. They were, every channel you turned to, anti-Semite, Thomas Massie got on the House floor. But he was telling the truth about what happened, and nobody will bother to follow along or do any kind of research because they don't want to be labeled an anti-Semite.
Candace Owens reported this a week or so ago. Ben Shapiro's grandfather was investigated back in 1969 for stealing uranium and sending it to Israel. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah, very true. His name was Zalman Shapiro, I think it was.
Wow.
Look, these Israelis aren't our partners. They hate us. They hate Christians. They have no respect for our leaders. They do as they please. And, you know, this is by the bottom line. This is why our politicians want to hand over the keys to the Pentagon to. Is there a single politician in the country that we can trust? I mean, who? Massey was one. Did you see Lindsey Graham?
Yeah.
Just won by 30 points. He was behind in every poll down in South Carolina by like 5 points, and he won by 30. That sounds rigged to me. Trump keeps talking about rigged elections. I guess he's not concerned about the Republican rigged election.
Well, no, because Lindsey is pro-Zionist. He's bought and paid for by AIPAC.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy that beat Massie for the Republican nomination had millions of AIPAC dollars thrown to advertise.
Like 12 or 14 million just from the billionaire donors. The Israelis don't share the same worldview, goals, or enemies that the U.S. does. Why would our politicians allow a merger with this unhinged rogue government that we know spies on us? We know they can't be trusted. They've attacked us in the past. The only way that they would do that is if they're being blackmailed, bribed, or threatened. Why would we make their wars our wars or their problems our problems? I mean, we've been doing that for decades, and what have we gotten in return? $8 trillion in debt for these wars? Thousands of dead Americans, tens of thousands, dead and wounded, and they don't even want to put boots on the ground in Iran. They want us to. Bibi said, no, we're not putting boots on the ground, no way.
Yeah,
what they got on
us. This is an American war. This is nothing to do with us. So
that's what he said. Did you believe that?
The gall. As soon as the Americans... the military for America starts dropping bombs in Iran, well, that gives Bibi carte blanche to go invade Lebanon.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bibi Netanyahu said the Lebanese just need to surrender and they stop bombing them. Surrender what? It's their country.
Yeah.
What is he talking about? He just said that today, I saw. They just need to surrender. Surrender what? They're bombing Christian churches and Christian residential areas. Most people don't know that Lebanon is 25% Christian.
You're not.
The Israelis don't care. They hate Christians as bad as they hate Muslims. They just don't tell us that.
If you're not Jewish, you don't count. You're cattle. You're beasts of the field. That's what they teach in their Talmud.
They teach that before Moshiach comes back, that they've got to destroy Christianity. What do people think they mean by that?
The mantra of Judeo-Christianity was foisted. then Schofield came out with his annotated Bible, and well, now the Jews are God's chosen people and blah, blah, blah. The people have been fed this line of hogwash for so long that it is entrenched in their psyche. And when Tex came along and said, wait a minute, let's look at Galatians 3. And it says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well,
yeah,
that puts us on higher ground, because everybody needs to come to know Jesus. But Tex was, right, all of a sudden, he was one of the most hated men in this country because he was, yeah, an anti-Semite. Jesus was an anti-Semite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why the Jews can't stand Jesus, and Jesus had nothing good to say about the Jews when he was alive. So,
ye are of your father, the devil.
Right. I just saw something today from Mike Huckabee talking about it's our duty to protect Israel again. That guy, he just kills me. I can't believe he is a Baptist minister that doesn't understand the difference that Jesus is the new covenant, and we're not bound by a 37-year-old promise to a handful of, they weren't even Jews that long back. They're, you know, those were Israelites. You cannot say that all the Israelites are Jews.
No, you know, they've done DNA test. You know, so this was brought up the other day on a phone call with somebody. It's against the law in Israel to do DNA testing.
I wrote about that.
Why? Wonder why? Because they're going to find out what Israel Shahak found out, that, well, I'm not really Jewish.
I think it was after Arthur Kessler's book that back about 30 years ago called The 12th Tribe.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he came out with the Ashkenazi, Jews were from the Ulan tribe in Kiev, Ukraine. And I think that's when they said, no more blood tests, no more DNA tests.
Tex wrote about that in DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. That is a tremendous read.
And I have that book somewhere.
As a listener, if you haven't read it, you need to call the office and get a copy, because it explains right down to the T that, you know, and there were black Africans who claimed to be Jews that tried to get into Israel, and, well, no, they can't be Jews because they're black. They're Africans. They're not. But doing DNA testing, they found out that they had more ancient Israelite blood than the majority of the people that now call themselves Jews, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, Revelation.
Yeah.
So they refused these rightful owners of the land because they did not fit the persona. And Pat, we could keep going, brother, but we have flown through an hour, man. Thanks for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy.
Boy, that went quick, but it was a great conversation, Gary. Thanks.
It always is. It's so important that people get out and start researching about these bills that are in Congress that are going to totally subvert our sovereignty. Pat and I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.